I talked to Bill Douglas, told him to get in touch with you. I think you ought to get in touch with him. I told him our general feeling was this, that we didn't want to bar people from going, that in light of the situation as exists today, we did not think it advisable for them to go. We wished they wouldn't go. We couldn't keep them from going. But if they did go, they wouldn't go to January. He says they're not going until January. They're not going to talk about anything except what the center can do, not in the way of peace, but general things. So I told him to talk to you, and if I had to, I'd talk to him and get back. I made no commitments other than what I made to him once before, that I didn't think we would bar Justice Supreme Court from going, although I don't think that's his field. I just don't want to be... What? No, no, but when he talked to me, he talked about going. This was many months ago. Now, the thing I called, so I would follow through, if I could, on him and try to cool them a little bit and tell them that they could do a great deal of harm by conveying a wrong impression. I told him that the thing that we were more concerned about than anything else is that they would think the country was not united, that the 10% or 5% or 8% or whatever it was of the draft card burners and the agitators and so forth represented the sentiment of the country. And the sentiment of the country, my big problem right now was everybody wanted to do more than we thought was wise. And if Ho Chi Minh drew any wrong conclusions, it could be disastrous to everybody and they wouldn't perform a very useful service. Well, I told him that that was our feeling, and our feeling was it would be better for them not to go if they want to serve the interests of America. If they did go, though, certainly not go to January. In the meantime, talk to you. In the meantime, I would be there in a week, and I would talk to Douglas. Now, on the India thing, did you ever get that out?
No, sir.
I have a memo this morning.
I got the facts on it, but it just seemed to me that if I wanted to talk to you about it, I got it yesterday.
Well, that's what we want, but how did they get them out?
Well, they come out with the shipment.
Well, they don't, though. You see, we got Bowles and Company and State Department leakers putting out the story that there's going to be starvation because we're not getting enough there in January and early February. Now, the facts are, and I have a note here now, says a confidential memo of the president, it'd be helpful to state publicly that 1 million tons of grain are now scheduled to arrive in India in January. Now, that's more damn grain than they've had any month. That's about that's the high months they've ever had. To correct the public impression, these lobbyists and Nehru, he's got the Washington Post, New York Times, Baltimore Sun, he just calls them up and meets with them, and they sold out their country to get on India's side, and we don't ever get the other story. And to correct the public impression that the pipeline is running dry. I certainly trust that appropriate diplomatic efforts are being strenuously and effectively made to cause France and the USSR to make significant grain contributions this year. Both have a substantial surplus. In Paris last week, the French Minister of Agriculture indicated an interest in sharing the food aid burden. Then the detail says that the 1 million tons will be available unloading in India. You see, what we have done is we have taken the remnants, the scrapings, that had not been allocated and would normally be cleaned up of our previous agreements down the line in February or whenever, March, whenever it was, and we have concentrated them and rushed them in to get them in the January shipments. And then with Australia's coming along, with the purchase they made from them, with Canada coming along, this old mess that they're going to have a dry up the pipeline in January is just a damn lie. So I would hope that somebody could, in evaluating it, say, now, the problem is not in January. The problem will be, so there's no urgency, there's no emergency. We can put it there, first shipment, 6 weeks afterwards. And the problem is going to be, what does France do, and what does Australia do, and what can Russia do, and what can the United States do to take care of February and March before their harvest comes in April. And if we make this decision by December the 20th, why, we can have our first unloading in February, early part of February, first week in February. So all of our questions here, from the Fergusons, the Baltimore Sun, and the others that these boys backgrounded up there, I think State told them that agriculture was very urgent, and their memo surely doesn't justify it, that State was very urgent, but they had a mean old president. And I think now, to get away from that, we ought to show what the facts are, because these guys don't want to go out there. Polk doesn't want to go to India if you've already made up your mind.
Right.
No point in having them go if we're just going to vote in advance because somebody started discussing it last August. And I think that you better get Goward in and your people that discuss these things in August and tell them a discussion under our constitutional system does not imply anything. That finally, the court has to rule that that is the law of the land, or the Congress has to pass and the president sign, that is the law of the land, or the president has to make a decision, that is the law of the land. And these little pipsqueaks that discuss, there's no implication to be given to that, and I'm damn tired of them treating me this way. And they do it every year, Nick. So I want you to transfer some people and fire some people and make me quit going through this pressure until I'm ready to decide the thing. I want the freedom to do it.
Of course.
Well, get your damn baseball bat out.
Okay.
You don't have to run for office. You don't want to be a popularity contest. And clean up that damn department. I've just told them that time and time again. If a poor president has to be guided by some FSF 8, calling them in and doing it, we just can't do it. Now, I want to give India whatever it's in her interest to give without damaging our interest because of humanitarian reasons. But I look forward to the day when India will recognize that in the next decade, a lot of people are going to starve if we don't take action. A, to get away from these sacred cow deals and get away from these antagonism to population control, and to get away to this antipathy, they don't have enough time to talk to fertilizer people. And that we're just going to feed them in the meantime, because we damn sure are not going to do it. Not the next 2 years, anyway. That's right. And we got shortage of crops, and you could have a desperate situation, because wheat in Kansas and Texas and all up, not over 70%. And I haven't had a rain now, and I got a memo this morning. Last night we had 0.7. That's not even a sprinkle. This is the first measurable rainfall than the last 70 days. Now, if that goes on, you're going to be one where Lydia and her kids are going to get some bread. And they're going to say, well, you damn fool shipped it to India. Now, that's an extreme part of it. And I pointedly make it extreme so that you can see that these little clerks that sit up that just look at Chet Bowles and India ought to be putting us this thing. Now, I'm going to ship it to them. But what I want to do, Nick, is to, there's no use of my giving it to them if they're willing to buy any of it from Australia. And we've already made it by 150,000 tons. And there's no use of my trying to use my power with Australia and say, I bought meat from you. Now, please help us give to India here some. Because if they know I'm going to give it to them, Australia doesn't have to give it to them. If you come to me and say, I want a contribution for the employees fund of the State Department, I say, how much you need? And you say, $500,000. I pick up paper and see where Rockefeller gave you $1 million that morning, and why the hell am I going to contribute? Now, they don't understand that. And I just have to fight them. You don't have any idea. I've spent 10% of my time fighting India down here, fighting three newspapers, my own departments. Now, a man oughtn't to have to do that. That's president of the United States and supposed to be arrogant and powerful and have all these powers. So I want you to use some of these powers attributed to me to just take whoever's been discussing this in aid and in state and hit them right between the eyes and fire at least one so the rest of them will know better. And then let's get together and get this committee out there. Get them to recommend what they think's got to come out. Then make Australia go to bat with us next week when their cabinet's formed. I believe it's this next Friday. And get them to give something. Then bleed France to where you just make yourself obnoxious and just urge it to bring in. They're going, he's leaving today. Be sure to ask them to join us. And then when they fail, we get our recommendation, we'll go up to Congress and say to them, we're going to ship a few hundred thousand tons here, but we want you to approve, as you did last year, the following, and then justify. And then we can get them aboard. If I do it now, why, it'll just be a wonderful thing for Jerry Ford to say, our own people are short. Johnson, without consulting us, gave away another $500 million to India. He consulted us last year, but he got so arrogant this year he wouldn't. Now, I've got a precedent, not by near got to consult him. And I can't consult him unless I get something to consult him on, and I'm going to get this congressional report. They don't pay a damn bit of attention, Chet Bowles, you know that. They think he's an ambassador from India instead of to India.
I think so, too.
I do, too. So you just call a meeting and get the aide in there. They tell me aide is also kicking up its horns about not just having complete freedom to give away anything it wants to without any other conditions. Now, I thought last year was the last year of aide, and I say I'd never been for it. If I hadn't have been, then it would have had a bill. I fought it to, except for George Mahon, they would have been, they'd been dead. And I've delivered him, just 100%. He's not really for it, and his district's not. And if they want to end it, that's a good way to end it. But I can't deliver everything they want, and unless they insist, A, on multilateral help, if we're the only ones in 120 nations that are interested, why then we are through. And B, unless they insist on self-help. And we don't insist enough, Nick. We're just not tough enough on these other nations. If we would use the same pressure on other nations that we use on the Congress and the passmen, and as successfully, then we wouldn't have so much trouble with our aid program. But we've got Fulbright and the liberals against us because we won't go multilateral and we won't make them happen. We've got all the conservatives against us because we don't want to spend anything. So our position is clipped away both places, and we're out, the ice is melting, and we're just on a little place in the center. So I'm trying to build it up by getting the Fulbrights in to show that we are having multilateral help, that we've got these other nations helping a little, and we're urging them all, number one, and number two, that we are demanding self-help. Now, I don't think there's any justification in the world for India to take the position that we're doing her wrong when we gave her a fourth of our total supply. And she did agree to proceed forthwith, post-haste, on fertilizer, and now she says she hadn't even had time to discuss it. Now, that's not fair. And we overlook it, and they say, well, she agreed to, she's done 70-80% of what she agreed to do. Well, the most important thing she agreed to do was put these fertilizer people in there and start fertilizing their land. Hell, I'd starve right here on LBJ Ranch if I didn't fertilize every square foot I got. And I'm a hell of a lot better soil and younger country than India. But if she's not going to learn it, then Ms. Gandy said, I haven't got time to talk to them. That's what the reports show. Now, I think you can level on that and say, well, you either take time to do that or starve. Okay, partner. You get this India story out. I'm just reading from the facts of it, and it says, this is what Snitker says, it helpful state publicly that 1 million tons of grain will arrive in India in January to correct the public impression the pipeline's running dry.
Right.
And I think if you could do it and say, now, Nick Katzenbach doesn't want to be a tribute, but all of you writing these stories, they're coming out of the parliament and out of the individuals in India. I want you to know that you don't need to be alarmed. Number one, we gave a fourth of our supply, and the president did it himself. Number two, the Congress supported him last year. Number three, we got one of our biggest shipments going in this month. Together with Canada and Australia, it'll be a million, and that's as much as gone in any single month. That's number one. So much for January. Now, in February, we've got a group going out there to try to get the Congress aboard on this thing to see what it is. They'll be back here the middle of December. As soon as they do, we'll review what our position is. We'll decide what we can do on a temporary basis, and then we'll call the Congress in January the 10th and try to get their acquiescence and get them aboard. So quit writing these stories and putting out the stuff that...